Joining us for the first half hour is Reagan Carter. She's the Regional 2 Manager for Tobacco-Free Living and a spokesperson for the EBR Smoke-Free Coalition. And of course, the coalition secured a big victory Wednesday night when the Baton Rouge Metro Council voted to ban smoking in bars and casinos. Y'all worked on this for a long time, Reagan, so congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks so much for having me this morning.
No, glad to have you. Tell us exactly what Wednesday night's victory will mean.
Well, we are certainly excited about the victory. And as you mentioned, we've been working on this for close to 2 years now. So we're really, really excited. And the first level of what it means is that we have over 3,000 bar and casino workers here in Louisiana. And so it means that on their day-to-day job, they will no longer be exposed to the harmful effects of secondhand smoke.
You all really pitched this from the perspective of employee health.
I mean, yes.
This wasn't about just people who visit a bar or a casino being exposed to secondhand smoke, but for the people who work in those establishments.
Exactly. And we did a lot of work as well with our entertainment industry because we know that our musicians are also exposed to secondhand smoke when they're performing in bars and casinos. And so you're exactly right. We did a lot of focus around employee health because employees should not have to choose between their health and their paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Now, the money for this campaign, you all raised a lot of money for the campaign?
Well, we definitely work with our national partners. We had national, state level partners and local partners who all contributed to the success of the campaign.
How much did it take?
Well, I mean, it depends upon what angle you're looking at. There were multi-levels of this campaign. We certainly had our grassroots level campaign where we had events. And so we had budgets for that. And we also had our level of the campaign where we engaged the community to come out and participate. And so we had our t-shirts and things like that. So it depends upon what portion of the campaign that you're looking at. But we certainly appreciate our national and state level partners that assisted us.
But altogether, how much did y'all raise?
You know, that's a tough question. I really have not looked at those figures.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Metro Council was not an easy sell. I mean, it was a little bit touch and go for a while.
It was. You know, we have the 5 Democratic Metro Council members who have been on board from the very beginning, from last year. And so we are appreciative of them. That was Councilman Lamont Cole, and then Councilwoman Shauna Banks, Erica Green, Tara Wicker, and Donna Collins Lewis. From last year, they were very supportive and have continued to work with us. And then we were able to bring on our final 2 votes, which was Councilwoman Barbara Freiberg and Councilman Matt Watson. And so working together with all 7 of them is how we secured the 7 votes to be successful.
877-217-5757 outside the Baton Rouge area if you have a question for Reagan Carter, or 297-5633, Reagan Carter with EBR Smoke-Free Coalition. The issue that the Republican members of the council had about this was the whole idea that government shouldn't be able to tell business owners what to do.
Well, we hear that argument a lot. On many issues when it comes to differences between how Republicans tend to review issues and how Democrats tend to look at issues. And the way that we look at the particular secondhand smoke issue is that it is certainly the first role of government to protect the public health and safety of citizens. And so we don't look at this as government intrusion. Many of our education with the community and bar owners and the Baton Rouge Metro Council, we brought up the issue around restaurants that, you know, public health interest, the government goes into restaurants and make sure that the food is healthy and safe, that people are not serving raw meat. They go in and they make sure that the water is healthy and safe. And so making sure that air quality is healthy and safe is certainly in line with those same public health things.
Now, a lot of the bars were okay with this.
Yes. We had tons of support from our local bars in the Baton Rouge area who recognize that, number one, they do want their employees to be safe. And then also from an economic standpoint, we had bar owners that came out to say that some of them went smoke-free on their own a year ago. Some of them went smoke-free months ago. And what they recognize is that their revenue and their patrons visiting their bars actually increased. It didn't decrease.
That's so interesting. We have a caller. Miriam from Inniswold has a question. Miriam, good morning. You're on the air with Reagan Carter.
Good morning. I'm so excited about this. Our young adult son was a part owner in a bar in Monroe, Louisiana, when they instituted the smoking ban in bars. And they found out not only did their business increase because suddenly smokers had a place that they could go listen to live music, but they were able to get better music acts to come and play, because so many of the music acts now refuse to play in a place that allows smoking indoors because it's unhealthy. And it helped him to quit smoking. So I'm just really pleased. I think this is going to be a great positive for our area. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam. We certainly appreciate your call, and you're exactly right. We're hoping for those same successes here in Baton Rouge. And we have had some of our band members who support and musicians to say that when they try to recruit talent from other places across the country, that is what they find out, that some of those talent are saying, I can't believe that you guys are still allowing smoking in bars in Baton Rouge, and we're not coming.
And to me, that's so interesting. Miriam mentioned Monroe, which is in North Louisiana, a much smaller community. You would think that we might be a little more progressive or ahead of the times here.
Exactly.
Than Monroe, no knock to Monroe. But I find that interesting. And obviously, many other municipalities and states around the country have been far ahead of us, including New Orleans, the biggest party capital of the world.
Exactly, Stephanie. And so a lot of what we did during our campaign was to say exactly what you're saying. Baton Rouge is the capital city. And as the capital city, we have to set a great example for Louisiana and other capital cities across the country. And so really excited that the capital city is now on board.
What do you think it was that made it such a challenge here? I mean, if you want to opine a little bit on the mentality of Baton Rouge or the culture. I mean, now that you've won a victory here, you may not want to say anything negative, but indulge me for a minute. I mean, what was it about?
Sure. I would say, without having done any polling in particular on what the major challenges were, the first thing we do know is that over 70% of East Baton Rouge Parish citizens did support. But I think that just in general, change is difficult. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't understand how something is going to impact you, or in particular for our business owners, impact your business, then that can make the idea of change to be really difficult.
Yeah. And Lord knows we are resistant to change here.
Yes.
It's always something scary. The casinos, I think, were the bigger opponent of this than the bar owners.
Exactly. And we see that, we saw that across Louisiana. We saw that in New Orleans. We've seen that in other parts of the country that have enacted smoke-free ordinances. And their biggest argument, and I don't want to pretend to speak for the casinos, but their biggest arguments was about revenue drops. Mm-hmm. And what we have found out is that the casino market fluctuates.
Yeah.
And we know that that happens in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, that happens in New Orleans, and those fluctuations have not been directly linked to smoke-free ordinances.
So we do know that after New Orleans implemented its smoking ban, revenues at Harrah's New Orleans Casino did drop. But what you're saying is you haven't established a causality between the smoking ban and the drop-off in attendance and revenues.
Exactly. And again, I don't want to speak for casinos, but I will go as far as to say that you're right. If you look at when the smoke-free went into effect, that the revenues of Harrah's dropped. However, if you look over the past 3 years, the revenues for Harrah's Casino were steadily declining over the past 3 years. And so that is how we know that it was not directly linked to the smoke-free ordinance.
It could just be a function of the age of the casino, or what happens in a mature market, maybe.
It could have been the fluctuation of the market. We also know that the economy has not been great. And so when people don't have as much money to go and visit casinos, then people are not going to casinos.
Mm-hmm. So now that you all have won, have you engaged in any sort of dialogue with the casinos?
No, we have not had that opportunity, but we're always open to that opportunity. The next phase of our campaign work is to actually do community education, business owner education, and casino education. And so we certainly hope that we would have that opportunity to sit down with the casinos.
There will be a delay, and there will be plenty of time for all of that education, because the law doesn't go into effect for another year.
June 1st is the effective date of the law. And so, yes, we have about 10 months of work that we can do education with the community and with business owners.
And that was a compromise that was authored as an amendment by Councilmember Matt Watson, I believe, to get this passed, because it was looking a little bit iffy for a while. I mean,
correct.
There were those swing votes. What was the rationale behind Councilman Watson's amendment?
So it was certainly a compromise with all of our seven sponsors to get to the point of that June 1st date. What we like to do, and just best practices across the country, we like to do 3 to 6 months. And so it was a compromise for everyone. And I think that's what many people heard out in the media trying to figure out what that compromise was coming to that June 1st date. And it was more about, and Councilman Trey Welch actually mentioned it when he introduced his amendments, for the council members, it was more about the small business owners being able to do the necessary work that they needed to do to have patios in their bar areas for smokers.
In other words, just to give them time.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And for us, the reason why it was a negotiable point for us, want to be really clear.
Okay. We were talking, Reagan, before the break about the delay. This doesn't go into effect until June, 10 months from now or so. And what it will mean for the bars and the casinos, what's behind the delay and why did this make it more palatable?
Yes, so thank you so much for that question. So the delay was, of course, a negotiation between the coalition with our national, state, and local partners and our seven sponsors. And, you know, being honest, we negotiated and we came to a point where everyone could agree, and the seven, we came up with June 1st. The issue for us as a coalition of public health organizations is that we certainly want to give business owners the time that they need to make sure that they can build patios or whatever space that they need to become into compliance. But our greatest concern was every day that we delay enforcing this ordinance is a day that we have employees, bar workers, casino workers, musicians that are exposed to secondhand smoke. So every day that we delay is a day that if I go into a bar that I'm exposed to secondhand smoke. And so for us, it was certainly not about not caring about the other dynamics and not caring about revenue and business owners. But for us, it was more about the public health and safety of those that are exposed to secondhand smoke.
And it must have been like an interesting quandary for the casino employees, because management and their employer was fighting this, but they're the men and women on the ground who are breathing this smoke in every
day. Exactly.
And it puts them in a bind, I guess.
Right. And it puts everyone in a bind, because if you think about when we first heard this in June, Councilman Lamont Cole said it great. You cannot put a value on human life. You cannot attach money to that. So you cannot attach a deadline to that. Like, okay, we'll keep you exposed until June 1st, or we'll keep you exposed until tomorrow. And so for us, it was more about, you know, the sooner the better, to make sure that people were not exposed to secondhand smoke. But regardless of the compromises and negotiations with the timeline, we are extremely excited that we now have this ordinance and we're prepared to begin our education work.
297-5633 in the Baton Rouge area if you have a question for Reagan Carter, or 1-877-217-5757 outside the Baton Rouge area. Not all of East Baton Rouge is included in this ordinance.
Correct.
So I'm a Baker, Central, Zachary.
Correct.
So you can still smoke in bars there. I don't think they have any casinos in Baker Central, Zachary.
Do not have any casinos that I am aware of. I won't say that they don't, but I'm pretty sure they do not have casinos in those areas. But you are currently still allowed to smoke in bars in the Baker, Zachary, and Central areas.
So are those municipalities next?
Well, you know, as a coalition, we certainly come up with what areas of Louisiana. We look at many different components, many different research. We look at levels of support. And so I cannot definitively say whether or not they're next, but we certainly have an overall goal for the entire state of Louisiana to have smoke-free bars and casinos. And so someone is next, and it may be Baker, Zachary, or Central.
If you thought you had a tough fight in East Baton Rouge Parish, let me just tell you. Okay, what about the rest of the state? What's the status in Louisiana overall?
So right now, we know there's a law that passed in 2007 that have restaurants and businesses smoke-free.
And I think a lot of people didn't realize that. I know when y'all came and met with the Baton Rouge Business Report to give us an editorial board meeting, some people were under the impression that you know, it's up to an individual business owner if he wants to allow or she wants to allow smoking in her office building. And that is not true.
Correct. It is a state law that passed in 2007. And I remember, and I guess it's because 10 years can be a long time or a short time, depending upon what you're looking at. But I know that most of us can remember going to a restaurant and the restaurant asking, you know, do you want a smoking section or a non-smoking section? And so if we pause and we think about those days, I know I remember sitting in non-smoking section and smelling smoke and being exposed to smoke and seeing the smoke all around me. And so in 2007, Louisiana became a smoke-free state for restaurants. And so we're hoping that eventually Louisiana will be like many other states in the United States, that there are smoke-free states altogether where all bars and casinos would be exposed. Because right now, it is great that we have the local policies. It is great that now we have 13 local municipalities in Louisiana that are smoke-free. But when we begin to look at the public health around it, then we have 13 municipalities that are protected from secondhand smoke, and then we have the others that are not.
So I guess, what are the next major cities? Are there any of the other big cities in the state that aren't? You mentioned 13, but...
Well, the major big cities that are not smoke-free, Lake Charles is not a smoke-free city, and Shreveport is not a smoke-free city.
Yeah, so those are two biggies for sure.
Yes.
So those will definitely be next on your list.
We sure hope so.
You all made a very compelling case as you went around, as I mentioned. We heard your pitch, and you brought, you know, individual bar owners with you and such. What were some of the economic arguments? What were some of the numbers of how much it costs to have smoking still? I mean, health statistics or...
Well, we know that heart disease, lung cancer, heart attacks, and strokes are linked to secondhand smoke. And so every day in Louisiana and every day across this country, we're losing lives to just exposure of secondhand smoke. There are reports of people that have never smoked a cigarette in their life that have died from lung cancer. And so when you look at that research and you look at that data, then we know that this is a major issue that we needed to tackle right away.
How did you get involved with the organization? Did you have any personal experience with this or any reason to want to fight this battle?
I am public health inside and out. That is what my education is. That is what my expertise, that's what my entire career has focused on, many different topics around public health. From a personal perspective, I have had people in my family who smoke. I've lost family members, I've lost friends to exposure of secondhand smoke, to smoking themselves. And so the personal aspect of it is, if I can be involved in any activity that can save a life, then I'm all for it.
Tell me a little bit about the coalition, how old it is, and you've mentioned, so you're with Smoke-Free EBR Coalition, but also Tobacco-Free Living, which is the larger national organization?
Tobacco-Free Living is a nonprofit portion of the Louisiana Public Health Institute that has multiple funders here in Louisiana. And so we have regional managers across the state that are working on tobacco prevention as well as smoke-free ordinance across the state. And then with the East Benridge Parish Coalition, we have the American Heart Society, American Cancer Society Action Network, the American Non-Smokers Rights. And so we have a multitude of national, state, and local level organizations that have been involved in the work.
So those were all the groups that really came together.
Yes.
To help fight this.
Exactly.
And will continue to.
Exactly. We will continue to fight across the state to make sure that we have smoke-free air environments.
And then this is going on across the nation as well?
Yes, there are many states in the country, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I do know that there are way more states that are looking at making sure that the clean air environments are smoke-free than states that still have people that are smoking in bars. I hear a lot of people that come to visit Louisiana and say, oh my God, I can't believe that somebody's smoking in that bar, because it's just not happening across the country. And as I said at the council meeting, when you look at casinos, people don't go to casinos to smoke. People go to casinos to gamble. They go to parties. They go to eat. I'm one of those people. I go to the buffet at the casinos, and I'm not going because people say I can smoke there. I'm going to enjoy the other activities. And so bars are the same. People go to listen to music. People go to hang out with their friends. People go to socialize. People are just not going to these places to smoke. And so the idea of having someone just step outside to smoke to protect themselves and protect everyone else that are in the establishment is something that we should all be on board.
Yeah, and it's just amazing when you think about how much progress has been made in 40 years. I mean, it's been 40 years now, to just to totally change attitudes in this country about smoking.
Right.
Where, I mean, to the point now where people think it's okay to smoke weed, but if you pick up a cigarette, forget it, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's so interesting. If we could have that kind of impact, you know, change attitudes about other things.
Right. The public health education has certainly increased, and we're appreciative.
Reagan Carter, thank you so much for being here with us this morning, and good luck as you all continue your education campaign.